Welcome to Woman, a program created for a woman's heart. Women sharing with women their joys, their concerns, their sorrows, and their victories that God has orchestrated in their lives. So grab a cup of coffee, kick off your shoes, and relax with our guests as they open their heart to you. If you want to speak with our guest, give us a call at 790-5663. That's 790-5663. And now, with today's Woman to Woman, here's our host.
Hi, this is Kathy Thomas, your host, and I hope you're having a great Saturday. Billy Graham's our guest. And before all of you fall off your chair and say, are you serious? In a way, he is our guest because Terry Whalen is our guest, who is the author of the newest autobiography of Billy Graham called Billy Graham, A Biography of America's Greatest Evangelist. And what's incredible is Terry Whalen knows him. He's an editor. He's written over 50 books. And he's a former editor of Decision, which is the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association magazine. It is written to where a teenager can understand it. This is a great book for anywhere. I would say anywhere for a child from 12 up. It's a fantastic book. It's an easy read, and it lets you know a lot of things that I had no idea Billy Graham went through, and the obstacles he faced, and the people he met, and the incredible mission for Jesus Christ. So we're going to have him on. We're going to have 5 free books to give away. And first of all, I'd like to publicly apologize for last week when we had Pastor Tom Savage on, the Western author, Christian, and the pastor of Amphi Bible Church. We had a mix-up in a couple of the books because we had so many. I put a call into the one person who, I guess, came in and wasn't able to get the book. I want to publicly also mention to that person, if you didn't hear my message, if you will call the station, and I will call you right after the show, and I will give you my copy of Medicine Tree that I had years ago, and I will mail it to you at my expense because it was my mistake, and I do apologize. I asked people to be able to come in and pick it up, and it's been very few times that we've had someone come in that we didn't have the book. And in 26 years, maybe 3 or 4 times. And so I do apologize for this, and I ask you to please contact us if you still want that book. The exciting thing about the Billy Graham is they said the greatest legacy Billy Graham said one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith, said Billy Graham, who recently celebrated his 96th birthday in November. Few people realize the enormity, Terry Whalen says, of the legacy he'll leave behind. He had had an impact on every president since Dwight Eisenhower. His impact has been felt by tens of millions of people. He's reached the lives of statesmen like Winston Churchill and been with people like Mother Teresa and even mobsters. His message of faith has never wavered. In this book we're going to do today, he gives us rare glimpses into the life of Graham, from childhood to the tireless travel and speaking that endeared him to millions. Do you know that he was president of a college? His Modesto Manifesto provided the framework for both personal and ministry operating principles. Now listen to this, and this is so powerful. He never traveled alone, said Whalen, nor did he eat or meet alone with any woman other than his wife. The manifesto governed finances, publicity, and immorality, issues that other well-known evangelists might have done well to adopt themselves. He was an avid sportsman. He loved to fish and play golf. He was a practical joker. He was full of the same fears we all have, and he followed the call in his life and embraced it with abandon. Though Whalen said he had his own questions and struggles with faith, Graham learned to trust God in his providence, move forward in confidence, and he lived a life sold out to Jesus Christ. He did this while encouraging others to embrace the good news that changed his own life. He was no stranger to heartache and challenges. His own son, Franklin, was a prodigal. He had physical challenges, such as you'll read in the book about one night when they found him writhing on the floor of the bathroom because he had a problem with kidney stones. He had sleepless nights, near constant travel. He crash-landed in a plane, long stretches away from his family. While he's most known for his unashamed commitment to the simple faith of Jesus, a message of life in Jesus Christ through faith in him, he's lived it out. And he shows us that faith can transform us from what we were to what God can make us. And I think in this book, you see the human side. You'll see the human side of Ruth, who had to spend so much time alone. I think it's a powerful book for a young person, for a teenager, for an adult, for an aging person. And we will have 5 copies of it. You will only have to call us at 520-790-5663. 520-790-5663. And the neat thing, by having Mr. Whalen, who knew him for so many years, who's been involved with him, he's been involved with his ministry for so many years, you can call up and ask questions of him about Billy Graham that maybe you always wondered. How did someone get so much faith? And it's just jam-packed with anecdotes that bring him to life on the page. That was written by Jerry Jenkins, who we all know. There's a Kevin Ford, who's a principal, a nephew of Billy Graham. He said, "This author brings the biography to a new generation. I hope the example of my uncle will stir you to a deeper walk with Jesus." And one of my best and one of Billy Graham's dear friends is Johnny Erickson Tada. "If you want to cultivate a passion for souls, get to know Mr. Graham in the pages of this book. I promise you will be blessed." So after our first break, we are going to, our wonderful engineer Kyle is going to call Mr. Whalen, and we've got 5 copies of the books to give away. I need you to call if you want to come by and pick it up. I wish we could mail them, but I'm sorry, we just can't. I'm mailing the one if the people call me because I made that mistake, okay? I want to let you know, and Franklin Graham went from being a prodigal, his son, to leading more ministries around the world for Billy Graham than anyone. It's been powerful. Now, Franklin's brother, Will Graham, shares the good news in China. It's said that over the years, God has opened the doors for both Billy Graham and Franklin Graham to share the gospel in China, which was the birthplace of Ruth Bell Graham, because Billy Graham's wife her dad was a missionary doctor there, and she was born there. This week, at the invitation of the local church and with the government's permission, which is a miracle right there in China, Will Graham is sharing the good news as part of the Chinese New Year celebration. Will you folks pray that I'm talking to now for Will Graham as he retraces his family's footsteps from 99 years ago and proclaims the hope of Christ in their hometown of Huayan on Friday and Saturday. I may not be spelling it right. It's HUAI'AM. Some of the things that sharing the gospel is Franklin Graham's. His son speaks out on transgender restroom proposal. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association president, Franklin Graham, voices concern, and I'm glad he just jumps right in the news, about a proposed ordinance in Charlotte, North Carolina, allowing biological males to use a women's restroom. "It's not only ridiculous, it's unsafe," he says. And what God is doing, continuing with this man and the others, is, I mean, there's nothing that you can't do. It's just a powerful thing. I also want to let you know, one of our prior guests, he started this in Tucson, is Paul. And Paul and Laura, I'm just giving you his, Paul Harrigan, began to do the ministry of France for Christ. It's Christians United in the Name of Jesus for Christ. France is considered the most unchurched country in the world. And so after he came on, when they moved to Paris, I began to download their prayer requests. And they have a prayer calendar. And it's really neat because they don't have regular churches that people go to just to be baptized and to die. He said, "Praise the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle," Psalm 144:1. He said that to pray for their house churches. They're going to be starting to do an alpha course. It's introducing people to Jesus. We've had those in America. So please pray for these courses that are going to be introduced in Vaux-sur-Seine. Also, they're giving an online course called Foundations, and they're trying to reach out to the people. And one of the points he makes is keep praying for revival in France. Did you know that French is spoken on all 5 continents, not counting Arctic and Antarctica? So when revival comes to France, it will have an impact all over the world. And I'm thinking of our little World Vision boy, Mohammed, in Mauritania. They speak French when he sends us any information. And I'm praying that this precious little Muslim boy will come to know the joy of Jesus Christ. So we've got an exciting show for you. I want to tell you, if we don't have time, that next week we're going to have Light in the Darkness by Dr. Gary Lovejoy. And God is showing favor to us and Good Message Network. He is one of the most top world-famous Christian authors on counseling and psychology in the world. And this book is so fantastic. So we only have 3 copies of that. It's like a $30, $35 book, but it's a powerful show. So we have incredible shows coming up. And then Barbara Tompkins will be here the week after that. So I think I'm going to take just a little bit of an early break, and we'll get ready to hear the story of Billy Graham. So I encourage you to call with your questions, your prayer requests, and also your desire for a book. You can stream us anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world, and listen to this program now by going to KGMS.com. If you miss the program, go to KGMS.com, hit podcast, and is it usually on by Saturday night, the podcast? By 5 o'clock, our time, Mountain Time, you can listen to the program on podcast. So stay tuned. This is Kathy Thomas with Woman to Woman, looking ahead to hearing about the life of one of the greatest evangelists the earth has ever known.
You're listening to Woman to Woman, a call-in program focused on helping you become everything you desire to be as a woman in Christ. There is so much more to come, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The first century Greek philosopher Epictetus said, "Men are disturbed not by the things that happen, but by their opinion of the things that happen." We could also say it is our response to events, not the events themselves, that determines our moment-by-moment happiness. An amazing verse in the Bible says that every event in life is a potential good event. Romans 8:28 says, "God causes every event to become a force for good in the lives of His children." Knowing God is going to use every event for good allows our response to those events to be good as well. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's power to make everything good on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
Did C.S. Lewis predict Instagram? For the Chuck Olson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. We know the routine: snap a picture, apply filters, upload, affix hashtags, and then wait for the likes and comments. It's a ritual a good portion of the population, especially young people with smartphones, enact several times a day. Now, there's nothing wrong with showing friends how your day is going, but a lot of us seem to be doing, eating, reading, or wearing things we otherwise wouldn't, just to win approval for it on social media. Reflecting on C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, Pathos evangelical blogger Samuel James suggests that Lewis's senior demon endorsed this trend 70 years ago. Human patience, Screwtape tells his nephew, should be encouraged to give up the friends, food, books, and pastimes they really enjoy for the right friends, the right food, the right books, the right pastimes, things they think will make them popular. To cure this impulse, James suggests a radical treatment. Do something you really enjoy and post nothing about it online. Screwtape may not be happy, but I bet you will. For The Point Radio, I'm John Stone Street.
Welcome back to Woman to Woman, a program designed for a woman's heart. If you would like to join in the conversation, please feel free to give us a call at 790-5663. That's 790-5663. And now back to the program.
Hi, this is your host, Kathy Thomas. I'm so glad you're back. And we have our guest on the program. Welcome to Woman, Terry.
Kathy, what is it like to be with you today?
Oh, it's just wonderful to have you. The first part of the program, the first segment, I used explaining about you and about this book, and it's such an easy read. I was finishing it last night, but there's so many things. You were, just to let people know too, you were a former editor of Decision. You've written over 60 books. You've written for over 50 magazines. Tell me a little bit, before we go into the book, about what Billy was like for you.
Well, you know, it was really an honor, Kathy, to be able to work for Mr. Graham. This was about 20 years ago that I did this. I was associate editor at Decision Magazine. The office back then was in Minneapolis. Now it's in Charlotte, North Carolina. But back then, there was this little nondescript office in Minneapolis that was sort of a gathering of a number of different buildings. And what people didn't know is that they pulled six or seven semis full of mail out of that place every day.
My goodness.
because, because our magazine was going to 1.8 million people every month. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a phenomenal opportunity to be involved in the ministry there. Mr. Graham didn't come to the office in Minneapolis very often. I mean, he lives in Montreat, North Carolina, and would come occasionally. He came to the they had an annual picnic, for example, a company picnic, and it was our opportunity to actually shake Mr. Graham's hand and introduce him to our family, and it was just wonderful to have that chance to do that.
Was he what you see is what you get, isn't it? I mean, what you see, the way you hear him speak, the way you hear him on shows, that's how he truly is, right?
He is. He's, just a humble, simple guy. I mean, when he stands in that pulpit, though, God empowers him with the Holy Spirit, and some amazing things happen. But, one-on-one, he's just a regular guy.
What led you to write the book, Terry?
Well, I had the opportunity, actually, years ago, I wrote a short biography of Billy Graham that was published by Bethany House, and back then, I didn't build a website, didn't get endorsements. There's a lot I didn't do for that particular book, and it's long out of print. It came out in 2002, and about 11 months ago, Kathy, Mr. Graham is not in very good health. He's 96 years old, and you can tell what's happening out there in the media. Some people are preparing for whenever Mr. Graham passes. Mm-hmm. He's still very much alive at the moment. But I've been contacted by National Public Radio and Fox News Channel, and it was tied to my old book that was out of print. And, selfishly, I kind of thought to myself, this is really going to be a bad deal for me when Mr. Graham passes, because I'm going to be doing all this national press about a man that I dearly love. But I don't even have a book in the bookstore. So I work for Morgan James Publishing, and about 30% of our books are Christian. We sell them in the Christian bookstores as well as the general market stores. So I had the opportunity to completely update my old book last year, bring some new stories into it, put it in a new package, gather this forward like I did from Luis Palau, and endorsements by John Erickson Tata and different people that I know, and put out a new book here. So I think it's pretty exciting.
You know what I like especially, too, and you mentioned it to me on the phone when we talked this week, is that young people can read this, too. So many young people have biographies they're assigned to read, and I think, do you think like a 12 or 13-year-old could still get a lot out of this book, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a perfect kind of book for kids that have to do reports in school and all that kind of thing. They can, they can read it in a couple of days and write their report up and have what they need here.
What are some, just going back into the story to whet people's appetite, they see him preaching, they hear different stories about how he gets started, but most of the time we don't know any of the before. What were some of the greatest struggles he went through in childhood, or you think as an adult, that helped forge his character to be who he's been?
Well, that's a great question, Kathy. Mr. Graham actually grew up on a dairy farm in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I think there's some great things that are built into your character as a kid when your parents wake you up at 2:30 in the morning to go milk cows before you go trooping off to school. I think that does build some character to have to do those farm chores and that kind of thing. Some of the family members think that Billy's loud vocal ability got developed as a kid because he liked to do this Tarzan yell when he was a kid.
I remember that in the book, yeah.
And so that kind of thing helped him, as well. I could never remember a time that he didn't go to church. They always went to church back then, but God has children, but not grandchildren, and so each of us have to make our own personal decision for Jesus. And Billy Graham actually went through that as well. When he was about 16, went to a great evangelistic meeting that was going on there in Charlotte. He didn't really want to go, but everybody in the town was going, and so he sat in the back and made a decision for Jesus that night through the preaching of Dr. Mordecai Ham.
That is something. And he was, wasn't he kind of, when you wrote about his childhood, sometimes they would, they loved him so much, but sometimes he drove them crazy. He was like a little ADD. I mean, he was always moving.
Yeah, he was always moving. But he, you know, he loved to play baseball. He thought that maybe he'd be a professional baseball player. And actually, as a kid, he got to meet the great Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the great highlights of his childhood to be able to do that kind of thing. And I understand even at 96 these days, Kathy, Mr. Graham still loves to watch baseball games.
So
it carries on even from his childhood to now.
You know, sometimes people whitewash Christians so much that they just don't seem to have any life or fun in them. And he was so real the way you write about him. Tell us a little bit of the kind of practical jokes he did as a kid. I love that.
Yeah, you know, Billy was known as kind of a practical jokester, and they rode the bus to school at Charlotte. And back then, there was a crank on the underside of the bus that would cut off the gas to the bus. And so he would jump off the bus. The kids knew he was going to do this, wave real big to the bus, but he would get off and turn that crank. So the bus would go firing down the road and sputter in a few feet and stop. Because he turned that crank on the gas.
Were his parents very strict, or they're very easygoing, or what?
Well, I think his mother was less strict than his father, I guess, is the way I'd say it. But I think you know, he learned a lot from both of his parents. From his mother, I think he gained the love of reading about history and books. Now, Billy Graham wasn't really a great student, you know, in grade school and high school per se, but you know, he did okay, I guess is what I'd say.
But you know, it's kind of encouraging for that too. I've also read that the average American president has just been an average student. That that you don't have to have an intellect of 160 or this or that to be greatly used by the Lord, right? You just have to be available.
Oh. Absolutely. You have to be available, and I think that's the big lesson, one of the big lessons about Billy Graham is that he has always been available to whatever God's leading him to do.
What did he like growing up, like hobbies, besides baseball?
Well, baseball, and he did some reading, and, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of time for hobbies, I don't think. You know, being on the farm, working on the farm, and doing those kind of practical chores, but you know, they really did enjoy each other as family members, his siblings, and having that time together in the evenings. You know, family life was different back then. You know, they didn't have video and TV and all the kinds of stuff that we have that sort of drives our attention. So I think they were more simple and more focused on just each other.
And yet his father was a very, very sharp, shrewd businessman himself, wasn't he?
He was, and real well known, and in the whole Charlotte, North Carolina area, they've actually preserved the house there that Mr. Graham built for his family, and it's right next to the Billy Graham Library there in Charlotte.
Oh, how beautiful! Well, you know, another thing too is that people kind of think. Billy was baptized at the age of two and was always goody-goody, and it isn't. And in a way, it's kind of interesting that his son Franklin was a prodigal and came back, right?
Yes, Franklin was a prodigal. I actually, while I was with the Graham Association, I covered Franklin Graham's first overseas crusade. There were about a dozen of us. We were in Managua, Nicaragua, many years ago.
Okay.
Back when the communists were still in charge of Nicaragua there. So that was a very interesting experience. There were only about a dozen of us. So I've been around Franklin off and on through the years as well.
Why is it that? Because Billy Graham and Franklin Graham had been allowed in places, and now it says Will Graham's going to China. How is it that these countries that are atheistic or communistic allow the Grahams in?
Well, that is pretty amazing. And they haven't allowed them everywhere, Kathy, I guess is what I'd say. I know Mr. Graham always wanted to go to Cuba, and he's never had the chance to do that, to work those kind of details out. But he was one of the first evangelists into different countries in Eastern Europe, and now, like you say, Will's going to China and all those kinds of things. Last time I saw Will, he was quite the little kid, but he's an associate evangelist now and all, you know, got his own family and everything.
Praise God. Well, we're going to take a break, and if any of you would like a copy of this book, what a beautiful thing to give to your teenager, a young adult, an older person, a middle person, to understand how a man can come to know Jesus Christ so strong and just seem like an average, wonderful guy. Give us a call at 520-790-5663 for your free copy or to talk with Terry about Billy Graham. And when we come back, we'll also tell you how you can purchase a copy. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Woman, a call-in program focused on helping you become everything you desire to be as a woman in Christ. There is so much more to come, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Doug Martin. The sponsors on this radio station are reaching people that are a lot like them and share their values. And by sponsoring programming on this station, they're helping us reach the community with those values. Sponsors help us keep the programming you're listening to on the air. If you'd like to look at becoming a sponsor, give us a call at 790-2440 and let us go to work for you.
Sometimes I feel like I have a bully inside my head. Hi, I'm Renee Swope with Proverbs 31 Ministries. There are times when my self-critical thoughts start badgering me, and it's like I have my own private bully. He always shows up when I have too much to do and it looks like there's no way I can do it all. Or when I get tired and discouraged, he'll start bullying me. Now, the badgering isn't audible, but I do hear it, and if I'm not careful, I'll believe it. I'll believe an accusing lie that says I am what I do, and if I fail, then that's who I am. But I don't hear it when I succeed. And honestly, it would be a lie if I did. The truth is, I am not what I do. I'm not a success if I get it all done. And I'm not a failure when I don't. And neither are you. For more encouragement, sign up for our free Proverbs 31 Ministries daily devotions at Proverbs31.org.
According to the FBI, among children and teens living on the streets, involvement in exploitation or trafficking is a problem of epidemic proportion. In Pima County, 300 to 500 of homeless youth are likely to be exploited or trafficked each year. But our community is coming together to create a culture where these kids are identified and can be healed, where our youth are taught how to not become victims. More information on how you can be involved in creating a culture where selling kids is not tolerated is available at soldnomore.org.
KGMS Tucson, KNXN Sierra Vista.
Welcome back to Woman, a program designed for a woman's heart. If you would like to join in the conversation, please feel free to give us a call at 790-5663. That's 790-5663. And now back to the program.
Hi, this is your host, Kathy Thomas. My very special book this week is by author Terry Whalen, Billy Graham, a biography of America's greatest evangelist. And it seems like I'm saying I'm sorry I'm late today, but please call us back. Someone was calling for the program for the book. Call us at 520-790-5663. But sometimes we have to have restroom breaks, and our engineer had to run out, so please call us back. We did want to answer you, but I can't stay on this side and get it. So call us at 520-790-5663 for your big copy, for your free copy, and I promise you we will pick it up, okay? I have five copies to give away. Terry, where can people purchase these, especially if some of the people are listening to this show online?
Kathy, one of the best places, it's available in bookstores all over the country, but one of the best places would be to go to my website, which is BillyGrahamBio.com, BillyGrahamBio.com.
Okay.
And on that website, they can, you know, they can get it from their favorite independent bookstore. They can get it from Amazon. They can even get an autographed copy from me if they'd like to. So
oh,
there's
good.
Different buttons there they can push. So
BillyBio.com, right?
Billy Graham.
Oh, BillyGrahamBio.com. So remember that, yes, folks. Also, you can go to our shop page on KGMS, and we'll have it up there Monday. So we have, we can talk now. We're getting the phone calls. You know, there's just sometimes the human side. We have to rush to the restroom. Okay, let's talk about segregation, because we know it was very strong in the South. We know he was in the South. And although Billy grew up in what was his relationship like with African Americans, and what did he learn from a gentleman called Reese Brown?
Well, Reese Brown was an African American who worked over 15 years on the farm with Billy Graham's father, Mr. Graham. And you know, back then, Kathy, Mr. Graham was kind of you know, they were kind of upset with him in Mecklenburg County, because he actually paid Reese Brown more than most of the other African Americans in that county were earning. And so some of his colleagues were kind of upset with Mr. Graham for doing that kind of thing. But you know, I think through that relationship that Reese Brown, who was served with distinction as an Army sergeant in World War II, I think that, you know, Billy saw that relationship between those two men and how strong, you know, Reese Brown was, really, to be able to do those kinds of physical chores that you have to do on a dairy farm. And I think that built something into his early days and his childhood, but also his relationship, to know that people could, you know, reach across the races, and they could sit together, or they could touch each other, all those kinds of things. And you know, Mr. Graham was instrumental in the segregation of those crusades there in the South. So they didn't just have, you know, the whites on one side and the African Americans on the other, but they truly integrated those crusade meetings early on in the South that he had, and that was a huge deal back then.
You know, so many people in his book, you were talking about Mother Teresa that he met and how she went through the dark night of the soul. You said that Billy also did that, because I know so many people think once you're sold out for the Lord, you don't have any doubts. I mean, you're just going straight on ahead, and maybe they can't relate as a human when we all have our doubts. So tell us a little bit about some of his own doubts and this relating to the Bible and what he finally came to a conclusion about.
Yeah, Kathy. I mean, all of us in the Christian life have our own struggles, and Billy Graham is no exception. You know, there was a time when he was at the Forest Home Conference Center out there in California, and late one night, you know, Billy went out to pray, took his Bible with him, and put it on a stump, and got down on his knees, and he said, "God, you know, there's some really stories in here in the Bible that people have questions about. I have questions about whether they're true, whether they really happened like that, all those kinds of things. But God, I'm just going to believe in faith that all these things that are in this book are true, absolutely true. And I'm going to accept it by faith." And so, yeah, he wondered about those kinds of things. There are some strange stories in the Bible. You know, if you read it from cover to cover, you learn those kinds of things. And Mr. Graham wasn't exempt from those kinds of feelings.
I know, too, when you wrote about Mother Teresa, I guess because she saw so much poverty and death. And I think when she met him, didn't she say that she had held five people in her arms that had died that night before she met with him? And it's probably hard not to get doubts.
Oh, it is. It is hard not to doubt. But you know, each of us have things that come into our lives. Probably some of your listeners have some, you know, experiences. They're wondering whether God's really interested in them or not. And that's where our faith has to come into play. And we just have to know and trust that God is in control of all the details of our lives.
I mean, I think of Moses, Terry, don't you? After 40 years, he probably says, "Oy vey, God." I mean, he just, am I really doing what you asked me to do? But anyhow, you know, Billy Graham seems like the kind of person who's right on when he's looking at you, at least in all the television appearances we've had. He's really looking at you. So people probably thought he was pretty well received. Sometimes he wasn't, according to your book. Did he kind of wonder if maybe he got in the wrong vocation?
Well, I'm sure he did, Kathy. Early on, Mr. Graham thought he was going to be a pastor of a church, and so he had to learn, just like any pastor would, how to preach some messages. And you know, his first few attempts at that didn't go real well. You know, he actually prepared several sermons, and he preached the first one, and he looked and still had some time left, so he preached the second one, and then he preached the third one, and preached the fourth one. And then he sat down, and he'd only been standing about 10 or 15 minutes, you know. So, all of us go through those kinds of situations, and where you preach and nobody comes forward, there's no big gong that happens or anything when you do that kind of thing. So, yeah, he's had all those kinds of experiences over the years. And people look at these TV sessions with Billy Graham from the past and see all the thousands of people that stream forward, and they just think that he's never had to go through anything, but he did to get to where he is. Absolutely.
Let's talk about his beautiful wife, Ruth. You know, I mean, that was not easy to marry somebody who was never there in a sense, right? How did they balance that? The travel, the family, everything.
Yeah, well, it was really hard because, you know, back then when they had these crusades, it wasn't just for a night or two. They would be for weeks at a time. And particularly overseas, you know, it's hard to get to the interior of India, for example, and have a series of meetings there. So they would plan them so they were all connected. They would travel around Australia and do a series of crusades over there. So, yeah, he would be gone from the family home for weeks at a time. And Ruth Graham was really his rock to actually, keep the home fires burning, keep everything going with the kids. They had five children. And so, but when Mr. Graham came home, it was like, oh, daddy's here. And so that was the time that he had with the family. But yeah, Ruth was a bedrock to keep the family going.
You know, there were so much people. A lot of people don't even know he nearly died in an airliner crash, too, right?
Yeah, it was in the early days. One of the ways he got started as an evangelist was through Youth for Christ. And he was traveling around the country holding evangelistic meetings with Youth for Christ. So they would pull these young people together for a meeting. And it was a time when he was going from Seattle to Minneapolis, and he changed planes in Vancouver, got on a small plane late at night. It was snowing like crazy, and all the passengers on the plane except for Mr. Graham were asleep. And the stewardess came through and said, gee, you know, they're closing the airfields all around us here, and we've got to land this plane. We've got to figure out where we're going to land. And he said, well, how's that going to work out? She said, well, I don't know. It's going to be kind of a rough landing. And so they did manage to land the plane and got everybody off, put them in a local hotel. And Mr. Graham got settled for the night. And then there was a pounding on his door. And so he got out of bed, opened the door, and there was a Canadian Mountie standing there. And they had actually, there'd been a thief that had stayed in that had registered to stay in that room. And so he was ready to arrest Billy Graham.
That's funny.
So Billy had to rouse the pilot and the flight attendant to really vouch for him that he was not a thief. He was just a passenger on the plane that got stranded there.
Oh, it's beautiful. We're going to take a break, and we have a few copies left. One thing I would ask you to do, if you're calling us at 520-790-5663, if our engineer is taking one person's call, the reason he's not picking yours up is he's trying to give them information, so don't give up. If you would like a copy, just keep holding on, okay? And you can also go to BillyGrahamBio.com and purchase an autographed copy by our author, Terry Whalen, and find other places. It's also in other bookstores. It's on our shop page by Monday. And we hope you stay tuned. The best is yet to come. This is Kathy Thomas with Woman to Woman. We're talking about probably the world's greatest known evangelist. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Woman, a call-in program focused on helping you become everything you desire to be as a woman in Christ. There is so much more to come, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Citizen Link with Stuart Shepherd.
We just took a field trip to the Four Corners, the only place in the United States where four states come together at one point. The drive there looks like the backdrop for a Hollywood Western. Towers of rock hundreds of feet tall, flat-topped mesas on the horizon. You'd expect John Wayne to ride up on a horse any minute and say, "Howdy, pilgrim." The precise spot is a circular monument centered around a metal bullseye in the ground. I got my picture with my left arm in Colorado, my right in Utah, and my legs in New Mexico and Arizona. I remember just a few years ago there were news reports that the monument is not really where it's supposed to be, off by maybe 2.5 miles. We're smarter now, the news people said. We've made progress, some experts added. But the whole thing was settled when the U.S. Geodetic Survey chimed in. They're also known as people who actually know stuff. That metal bullseye, they pointed out, is precisely located where a sandstone pillar was placed by the surveyor who identified the spot in 1875. The four then territories and Congress and the Supreme Court all agreed that that marker, that monument, is the very spot. As the geodetic guru succinctly put it, monuments rule. There are people today who say the Constitution is no longer where it ought to be. We're smarter now, they say. We've made progress, certain Supreme Court justices say. But the Constitution was agreed upon by every state and Congress. It's precisely where it ought to be located because it is what determines the spot. The Constitution is the marker that defines the boundaries. It's even supposed to define court decisions, not the other way around. All of which is another way of saying the Constitution rules.
CitizenLink is a public policy partner of Focus on the Family.
Welcome back to Woman, a program designed for a woman's heart. If you would like to join in the conversation, please feel free to give us a call at 790-5663. That's 790-5663. And now back to the program.
Hi, this is Kathy Thomas. Welcome back to Woman. I want to pay a special thank you to my co-host, Barbara Tompkins, who's been my partner on this show for over 26 and a half years, and Kyle, our engineer, who's doing a great job. My very special guest is W. Terry Whalen, the author of Billy Graham, A Biography of America's Greatest Evangelist. This is probably the easiest book I have ever read about Billy Graham. You don't want to put it down. It's powerful, it's a great witness, and it's a wonderful thing to give to an agnostic or an atheist because he's so real. So we have a few copies left. You can call us at 520-790-5. 520-790-5663. You can also go online to get a copy by going to Billy Graham Bio, bio.com. And you can also go on our shop page as of Sunday or Monday where we'll be able to help you as far as getting a copy too. Terry, when you look at all the writing you did about Billy Graham, when you look at all the researching and actually getting to know him, what do you think are some of the most important character qualities you saw in him, Terry? And how can the average Christian, how can we nurture those in our lives?
Well, that's a great question, Kathy. You know, Mr. Graham says that if he had to live his life over again, and he's lived a very full life at 96 years old, that he would spend more time in prayer and more time in the scriptures. I understand that Mr. Graham has Bibles all over his house, and they're marked in different places, and so he does pick them up and read them throughout his day. And I think that's a real example for us. I mean, we have this great resource in our own lives. We've got the Bible in a language that we can understand. We've got all kinds of translations of it, but yet a lot of us don't read it. We don't spend any time reading it on a regular basis. So I just encourage your listeners to, you know, pick up their Bible, start in the Psalms maybe, or start in the book of Mark, somewhere that just start reading it on a regular basis. And that can, that's something that all of us can do. The other resource that Mr. Graham talks about is how you spend more time in prayer.
Amen.
And, you know, here's a guy that's prayed a lot, but what a great resource that we have to talk to the Heavenly Father about any problem or challenge or praise or anything we have in our lives. We just don't avail ourselves of that either.
You know what I like in the book, folks, and Terry, I really enjoyed it, is no matter where they were going, even though he could have got caught up with himself because of the response of the world to him, he always had many, many people praying before a crusade, before a visit, before anything, right? Because he knew that power of prayer.
Absolutely. That prayer team is really a key part of how they put together these Billy Graham meetings.
Talk to us a little bit, because everybody's always interested in the presidents, but talk to us a little bit about some of the presidents he met and the involvement he had in their lives.
Well, you know, Mr. Graham has been involved with every single president of the United States, starting with Dwight Eisenhower. He met Eisenhower when he was actually the Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces at the end of World War II. So he had a previous relationship with him before he became president. But after he became president, Mr. Graham would go by the White House and have time with Dwight Eisenhower. And it was really during one of those exchanges that Mr. Graham asked if they could have a national prayer breakfast. Mm. And he suggested that. And President Eisenhower thought it was a great idea, so they started having a national prayer breakfast, and the president actually attended the national prayer breakfast, and Mr. Graham spoke at the first 15 of those events, and that's an event that carries on to today, where recently Barack Obama went to the national prayer breakfast.
Amen.
Because of this long-standing tradition that started back then.
Now, what about Richard Nixon? You said there was a bit of a problem there.
Well, you can imagine, when the Watergate tapes came out, Mr. Graham was really chagrined at the kind of language that Richard Nixon would use in the Oval Office and such. None of us even knew about that kind of thing until the Watergate tapes came out. But, you know, he maintained his relationship with Richard Nixon. And you know, Richard Nixon said that he believed that every word in the Bible was true. And Mr. Graham actually preached at President Nixon's funeral long after he left office and everything.
That is neat. What about, and he's spoken with Clinton and Obama and both Bushes and all of them. And it seems from the little vignettes that you share that he didn't get into politics. He got into the character of the man and his prayer for him being able to do what God would want him to do in office, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he learned early on, I think, that the press likes to quiz people when they go in and visit the president. And Billy Graham has always been real wise about how he handles those kinds of situations. So he doesn't just walk out to the microphones and say, yeah, this is what we talked about. You know, he doesn't do that kind of thing. He keeps it in confidence, but yet has that quiet, steady ministry with each of those men that have been in the office of president, right down to Barack Obama. When I was putting together this particular book, Kathy, I learned that Barack Obama is the first president of the United States that's actually visited Billy Graham in his home.
Mm.
Because, you know, Mr. Graham doesn't get out and travel these days like he used to, so he's not real visible in the public, but Barack Obama and his family were going to Asheville, North Carolina on vacation, and pretty close to where Billy Graham lives. And so they asked him if he'd like to go by and see Billy Graham. And he said, of course. And so they arranged that. And Mr. Graham was just delighted to get to meet President Barack Obama. And the two of them prayed together. Billy prayed for him, and Barack Obama prayed for Billy Graham. And I thought that was just a wonderful exchange that they had together.
Amen. I think that's wonderful. You know, the thing that I'd like to have been a little mouse in the room, though, is when Billy Graham, this big, tall, imposing character, met kind of short, squatty, but powerful Winston Churchill. tell us just a drop about that. We don't have a lot of time yet, but I just the thought of the two of them, it just tickles me.
Well, it was absolutely quite an exchange. You know, Mr. Graham back then was holding these meetings in Haringey, and they went night after night. And, you know, when you have a crowd that comes every night, you have to preach an original message every time. And so that's quite a thing to put on some evangelist to be able to do that. And but Winston Churchill heard about these meetings and really, really wanted to arrange a time to meet with Billy Graham. So they finally pulled that off, and Billy had the opportunity to talk to him about his personal hope of what he thought was going on in the nation, and whether he had hope that things were going to change. And it turned out at that particular point, Winston Churchill didn't have a lot of hope. And so Billy was able to talk to him, encourage him, pray for him. And in the middle of their exchange, they were interrupted. The personal secretary said, Mr. Prime Minister, you know, your next meeting is ready to start. And he said, no, this is important. Make them wait.
And that was the Duke of Windsor, huh?
Yeah.
You don't make him wait. You know, just in looking back, I wish we had more time. It's been wonderful talking with you, Terry. But what would you tell our people today with ISIS, with the killing of Christians, with all the horrors that have gone on and the persecution, how the memory of Billy Graham and what he has, how Billy Graham can still impact us today for us to learn and open our hearts?
Well, you know, the thing that's really amazing to me, Cassie, as I look at the life of Billy Graham, is he always is committed to everywhere he goes to talking to people about that simple gospel message. And I'm sure your listeners today are going to interact with people that don't know Jesus. But, you know, take a page out of the life of Billy Graham is what I'd say, and be bold. Ask God to help your own boldness to be able to talk to people about your faith. Talk to people about how Jesus is changing your life, has changed your life, and give them that opportunity to know Jesus. And I've always been impressed how everywhere Billy goes, he makes sure that he includes that message.
You know, that's so powerful. It's so powerful. And Terry, I am just so honored that you were our guest today. All our books are gone, and I would encourage everybody. You can go to our shop page and look for it starting Monday, and you can go right online to BillyGrahamBio.com, and you can even get an autographed copy of Terry's book. This is one of the books that I know everybody should have in their library. Especially, you know what I would love, Lord? I happen to believe in the rapture, and I would love it if it was in everybody's library and those that weren't raptured picked that book up and said, you know, maybe he has something. So thank you again so much, Terry. It's just been a blessing to have you, and I pray that this book gets in the hands of many, many thousands of Americans.
Thank you, Kathy. It was really an honor. It was a great honor years ago for me to be able to work for Mr. Graham, and I'm just excited about his life and what people can learn from it.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.
I want to share with other people that, again, we're going to talk about next week. I know this sounds weird, light in the darkness, but how God can have depression work for you. Now, that's strange, but it's powerful. Dr. Gary Lovejoy is going to be our guest. And all the books are gone, but go to our shop page. Go to kgms.com. There's a shop, and starting Monday, you'll be able to buy it there. Or you can also go to Billy Graham Bio, BIO.com, and order it and get it autographed. Wouldn't that be something if an agnostic or an atheist, the rapture occurs, and they pick up, they come in, somebody who just, maybe they went to church all their life, but nothing was there. They pick up this book. And God saves them. Praise God. This is Kathy Thomas with Woman to Woman. You go to church tomorrow. You go where the word is preached, not because you have to. Don't sit home and just watch it on television. God wants the fellowship of his believers. He wants us to share his love, his word, his prayer, and go out with the grace to fight the good fight next week. I'll see you, Lord willing, unless we're all home in heaven, next Saturday. This is Kathy Thomas with Woman to Woman. Be ready for the Sober Project. God bless you. I wish you well.
Thank you for spending time with us today on Woman to Woman. Our hope is that you've been uplifted and encouraged by today's discussion. If you have topic suggestions for our program, please write to us at Woman to Woman in care of Good News Communications, 3222 South Ritchie Avenue here in Tucson at 85713. And join us again next week at the same time for Woman to Woman.